Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us.
Hello, it is great to be with you. Today we are going to be talking about divine encounters, which I know sounds like this big thing, and hopefully we can break it down a little bit today on our podcast. For those of our listeners who are familiar with the Christian liturgical calendar, by the time this podcast airs, we will have experienced what is called Epiphany and being in the Epiphany season. And essentially, this is celebrating the story of the Magi who were looking at the stars, had this insight, and went to see the Christ child. And so I'd love to read a quote that I gathered from the Siena Center and the Abbey of the Arts on what Epiphany means. The quote says this: Epiphany means sudden revelation or insight. Who of us hasn't had a moment when everything becomes clear for a moment, when beauty breaks through the ordinary events in our lives? Those moments can feel slippery, like waking from a dream. We know that something important just shifted inside of us, but that shift is also fragile, and we can easily get lost in the rush of our days. And I like that because, again, I think sometimes we can think of these divine moments with God as like these huge, massive things. And yet this is kind of describing, yes, it can be that, but it's also these shifts that happen in us. And so I wonder what our experiences have been on epiphanies, divine revelations. Theophany is another word that some traditions use in our own lives and experiences.
So I think what a fun topic just to get a chance to talk about. How does the divine show up in our world? And especially that we can pair it with a moment when that's true in our liturgical calendar. So thank you for bringing this to the table. And I'm struck even as we're talking how this can happen in so many different ways, both in moments where maybe we were seeking it a little or other moments where we weren't seeking it at all. So I think of a moment a number of years back in my life, really, at least over a decade now, but I was driving to work and it's this long highway drive and I'm just questioning my whole self. Like, am I doing anything in the world that's making a difference? Am I just spinning my wheels? What is really the purpose and the meaning of my life? As one does when they're driving to work. And as I got to work, I turned on the computer and I got settled in and I had just been praying this on the highway. Like, what is the meaning of my life? God, like, is this the right path at all? And I got this email from someone who lived half of a country away, right? Who was saying, thank you so much for everything that you do. I've been listening online and it's just been really helping me because there's nothing in my area that's even remotely like this. And I just thought, you have got to be kidding me. Like, when sometimes people talk about coincidence, and I just feel like, how is that possibly a coincidental moment that I have this whole crisis of self that just moments later very quickly gets an answer? And I'm also amazed, like, that's my story and it's somebody else's story merging, that person had to feel after how long that today was a day that I just have to tell this person this. Why that day is so interesting. So, yeah.
I appreciate you naming, Christina, that sometimes we're seeking these things out and sometimes it just seems to find us, like it just kind of comes out of nowhere, because I think that that is such the case. And even, you know, kind of thinking back to the Magi story that I mentioned, they were going to work, right? Like, they were astrologers by trade. And so it was in their workplace that all of a sudden it's like, huh, there's this interesting astrology pattern, this star that we're intrigued by. And so this combination of their science, their trade, their knowledge, coupled with this intuitiveness, this nudge to do something, kind of like you're mentioning, this nudge for this person to reach out to you and to give that gift of encouragement. And then it took like a journey, lots of people getting involved in their story, finances, all the things in order to kind of follow that gut intuition. And again, evidently they had this divine encounter that have they experienced and that we read about today. And so I appreciate, too, the Abbey of the Arts mentions that the contemplative life is never just for its own sake. When we cultivate ways of being that are slower, more spacious, more attentive, more compassionate, we open up portals into these moments of epiphany. And I think that that's really important, of like this idea of opening up the portals into the moments of epiphany.
Yeah, I really love that. I love, it's funny that you mentioned driving, Christina Kaiser, and Christina Roberts, you mentioned, it, you know, just ordinary life. Epiphanies happening in just ordinary time. And I was even thinking about a time where I have a huge value of being active in the community. And one of the ways that I've done that for a number of years is I've been a school bus driver. And I would find myself having these epiphanies, you know, driving my school bus. I had like 20 minutes before any child would step on the bus. And it was in the driving out in the country that I would have these epiphanies, you know, just God breaking into my work, into the thing that I'm doing, that would bring clarity. But I also love the thing that you said at the beginning, Christina Roberts, is the fragility of it, right? You know, I have an epiphany and then a child steps on a bus and it just disappears. And then I'm able to reflect on it and sit with it. And it becomes even, you know, like the epiphany that I had, it sort of works its way out in my life. And so I really appreciate the ordinary aspect of living that happens, and you bringing this story of epiphany to us.
It feels like a really big point that you're making. We have this divine moment that gets followed up by a very ordinary moment that can kind of jolt us out, and we can quickly, it can just fall through our fingers. So there is that intentionality of coming back to it. I feel like that's such a big deal that you're talking about there. And I think even as you reflect on that Magi story, right, they have to have more than one divine moment even in that whole experience, because ultimately King Herod is this dangerous person in their lives. And so they need more discernment later on to like, don't go back that way. Don't come back and tell him things. So it really takes this like another little touch and another little touch in order for that story to really do what it's going to do ultimately.
Yeah, it seems as though, you know, there's a phrase called tipping points. I think Malcolm Gladwell is the one that talks about this, where you're kind of doing all of these different things. And then ultimately, like one day there's a tipping point that happens and all the things that you've been doing like tends to work for you. And we, you know, we talk about those light bulb moments or the stars aligning, right? Even in pop culture, we have these phrases, but I think that there is something to that kind of cumulative effect where kind of something does click or we do have these moments. And I appreciate your point too, Christina, that, and then there's the follow-up to those where there's consequential moments and more interactions and people and things and risks, et cetera. And so again, these journeys, and I think sometimes it's just maybe these catalytic moments that we have with the divine that then lead us on our journey. You know, I was thinking back to when I was a young adult and just trying to really grapple with what does it mean to be generous? What does it mean to trust God with my finances? And, oddly enough, I was kind of praying for someone and really kind of felt this nudge to give this person $22, which is like the most random amount of money, you know? And so I was like, well, you know, $20 kind of seems more round. And it was like, no, I just really felt like I should give $22. So I was like, hey, you know, I gave this person that. And then probably about a week or two later, one of my friends from another part of the country, like you're mentioning, Christina, wrote me a letter and said, hey, this is the weirdest thing, but I felt like I was supposed to give you $44. And so she like had this check for $44. And I was like, wow. And she felt really goofy too, because it was an odd number. But I was like, oh, you have no idea. Like that's twice of what I just gave another friend of mine. And I'm really trying to learn to trust God. And so thank you for kind of listening to that prompt. And so I think sometimes to your point, there's these fun exchanges where, you know, we're learning together to listen to these intuitive things that are small in the moment. But I think that was really foundational for me in trying to listen to those nudges of generosity throughout the rest of my life.
That is a remarkable story. Oh my gosh, I love it. And showing up, I mean, you know, some of it can feel like, oh, I've got to set all these things up. But showing up to our day-to-day lives seems to be half the story in a way. So like, you know, I attend this interspiritual meditation once a week these days. And it's kind of, it's all new to me. I don't know what I'm doing, but there's like seven things that we will sit with each and every time we come. So like, may I be happy and healthy? May I be grateful? May I be compassionate? And it goes all the way on. By the time you get to seven, it's, may I be in service to all? And a lot of times I get to the end and I think, and service to all is way too many. Like I can't, I don't want to be in service to all. That's too much. But one day that became the most profound moment of the whole thing, where I just had this sense of, it's this opening that we're talking about. It's not like in service to all, but what I am doing today is in service to all. So, you know, it was like Christmas time. So I was making cookies a lot at that time. And so this is my service to all in this moment, is just making these cookies. And that's it. There's nothing big and special about it. And it's all that weight of being in service to all dropped off. And it was a much more enjoyable experience, but it came out of nowhere. It was quite comforting and quite meaningful. That's kind of how it is. You just show up.
Yeah. And going back to, again, the Abbey of the Arts that I've been reading from, it, she also has this quote that our world is starving for new revelation, new insight, new dreams and visions. And the only way to arrive is through a commitment to slow down and see more deeply. And I think that that's so true, that we are looking for the new. And I think what I appreciate about the story that you just shared, Christina, is that it's this habitual thing that you're going to. And in that habitual place, there was this new portal that opened for you with that particular line on that particular day. And I think sometimes the, you know, the newness can be kind of the next shiny object, the new thing, and not being content with what is. And somehow in those moments, that becoming the opening up place that I think even this woman is talking about with the Abbey of the Arts.
Yeah, I like you mentioning just an openness to new. And I've had an amazing past couple of weeks. And I think I've had an amazing couple of weeks because I've been with my family a lot and we've been out of our normal routine. We've had lots of new experiences. I looked at my screen time a couple of days ago and it was like down like 93%, you know, from the week before. It's like our habits, things that we used to do, we had an openness to new experiences. And I just found the divine in so many of our outings, you know, going on walks, going on, you know, different trips with my family. And I really want to look for new ways to do that in the future, right? To like set aside specific times where I can just get out of my routine, open myself up for new experiences of God, new experiences with my family. It's so rewarding spiritually and rewarding relationally as well. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Well, thank you for such a generative conversation. It's been a delight talking about divine encounters with God today. So this is the part of our podcast where we talk about what we are into this week. So what are we into?
Well, I have been into music a little more than normal lately. We have gotten a few more instruments added to our family's music collection. And my oldest child got an electric guitar and is all about me teaching her electric guitar. And so she's kind of into like, I guess, angsty teenage stuff, as all teenagers are. And she's drawn to sort of minor, aggressive, sad stuff. And so I thought, oh, you know, I should break out the Dorian mode and play, you know, some of these minor modes with my child. And so I've really been into the Dorian mode, relating with my angsty teenage child.
That's quite remarkable. Like things you would not expect to come out. I am into the Dorian mode because it helps me connect to others in my family. Amazing. So for Christmas, one of the things that the grownups got excited about was the Aero Garden. And so we are currently growing herbs and lettuce above our dryer. And the dryer is kind of a room that is off to the side, which feels like a really important aspect of this because the light to the Aero Garden is quite bright. So there will never be another need for a light in the washroom ever again. But the fact that we can have fresh herbs in the dead of winter is all the rage, and we keep looking to see how close it is today to a moment where we can actually harvest it. It does go pretty fast. We're like just over a weekend and all the sprouts are up. So here we go.
Very interesting. That's cool, Christina. Well, I am into Brené Brown's latest book called Atlas of the Heart, Mapping Meaningful Connection and the Language of Human Experience. And I have to say, it's almost like a textbook of emotions. And she kind of breaks down different emotions that we feel and trying to help us as human beings to expand our emotional language and experiences and expressions. And so I'm just into the book, but boy, it's a rich and I think going to be a resource book for me for many years to come. So I am into Brené Brown. Well, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoy listening to the podcast, we invite you to sign up for our bi-weekly newsletter. You can find the link in the show notes or subscribe at thecontemplativelife.net. Until next time, make it a great week. Thanks for joining us.